If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
According to Brett Siegel, we now know the contract offer that the Chicago Bulls and Josh Giddey are expected to agree on over 3 years. We're going to talk a little bit about that deal and the plus sides for Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls and where the risk lies at with that potential deal, if that's the deal that eventually is signed. We're also going to look at The Athletic and ESPN and their recent comments on the Chicago Bulls offseason and the Bulls rely on nostalgia once again. We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. So according to Brett Siegel, which dropped yesterday via his article where he does a roundup of all kind of news and rumors around the NBA, Brett Siegel said that the Chicago Bulls and Josh Giddey are expected to agree on a three-year deal worth around $22 to $23 million annually. On that deal could range between $65 and $70 million. This is a direct quote from Brett Siegel saying this. Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls are expected to reach a resolution on a new contract, likely in the three-year range by the end of August. The Bulls could increase their offer, but they have stood firm on keeping a new deal in the $20 million AAV range. The latest speculation from agents not involved in negotiations suggests something in the $65 to $70 million range. Now, I want to talk about this deal. We did an emergency live stream yesterday in which we kind of just went over my initial thoughts. But why this deal is smart for the Bulls? I think it's on paper, you understand. You're getting him at much less than his max, which you know I think there has been some confusion. Josh Giddey, he was already asking for about $18 million less than the max, even with that $30 million offer, but you're getting him on an even more team-friendly contract. This aligns his contract as well with when Matas Bouzelis is going to be up for a contract extension, which could be very smart there. They could look to do something similar with Kobe and or Io next season, with them lining in with maybe Noah Essengays, potential extension, which you're looking at it then, right? So it's smart that you're getting him on a three-year deal on much less than his asking price, and you're getting him at a really decent value with more time for him to prove it before he ends up going, and if he does prove it over those 3 years, then he's probably going to be asking for whatever the max that he's able to ask for in that case. But, you know, this is the most negotiating that the Bulls have done with their own free agents literally since AK and Eversley took over. Now, you know, this is going to leave a bad taste in the mouth of some Bulls fans for sure, especially some huge Josh Giddey fans that look at it and say that Josh Giddey should be getting what he's asking for. And while I understand why he's asking for that, you know, the market is the market. And so the Bulls would have played the market really well if this is the deal that they end up signing on, but there's still some risk involved. We'll get into it. Now, I want to talk about why this isn't a bad deal for Josh Giddey. I think, you know, once you get off the side of looking at how much less this is than what Josh Giddey was reportedly asking for, it's not a bad deal for Giddey, mainly because you get back into free agency by the age of 25. You then can sign a full five-year max if you decide to do so then. And at that point in time, if you've been proving and being that player that you've said that you can be for a full season, for a full 3 years, you're going to have all the leverage. At that point, the leverage is completely in Josh Giddey and his agency's hands. And That's a spot to be in. Yeah, you're getting paid less for 3 years. Make no mistake about it. A lot can happen in three years. Injuries, change of direction for the team, those type of things. It all can happen. But, you know, for what it's worth, getting back into free agency in what is your actual prime, especially for a player that has said, you know, he hasn't gotten player's role for a long time. He even said how he finished the season is more like who he plans to be as a player going forward. It gives you time to round out your game, build off that chemistry, and become an even more ingrained part of the Chicago Bulls organization. So there it goes. But there are some big issues in how this could backfire for both sides. A, for the Chicago Bulls, you have now risked maybe straining that relationship. And we've seen it happen before. It was for different reasons, but let's not act like we haven't seen strained relationships here in Chicago before. We've seen it. And that usually doesn't turn into the best situation for either party, right? So there is that chance that throughout this negotiation, which we did hear, became a little bit more contentious. Casey Johnson did push back on that, so take that for how you will, right? But you do now risk alienating a young player that's 22 years old and that he's now, yeah, going to be out to prove it, but that prove it could become spite at the end of the deal, and you could look at it and say, all right, bet. Thank you for Chicago. Now, I'm listening to all offers. Where you could have had a chance to build some loyalty with the player, you now maybe have built that thing to where when Josh Giddey is back in free agent market, it could be, hey, I'm gonna make it to where every team that has an interest, let's come, let's sit down, let's meet, make your pitches. And now the Bulls could still be part of that, but overall, like, you just don't know how that's going to work out, right? So, of course, and you risk that at any time. Anytime you get a more team-friendly deal, you go through negotiations that have lasted this long, you run the risk of that negatively impacting that relationship. Now, I'm not here saying that's happening. For all we know, Josh Giddey and his agency could look at it and say, listen, it was what the market happened, is what the market happened. But I don't think that even if this is the Bulls' best offer on the table, they're not going to take this before one of the other restricted free agents sign, because that could potentially give them a leg up depending on what one of the other restricted free agents signed for. I think that that's kind of a holding pattern in that sense with all these restricted free agents, as far as Quentin Grimes, Cam Thomas, Jonathan Kuminga, and Josh Giddey. I think they're all kind of waiting to see who signs that first deal so that they can use that in negotiations, especially if one of those players end up signing a fairly sizable deal. So that's another aspect in this that you have to look out for. But, you know, for what it's worth, I just be happy when it's over with, in the sense that let's get the contract signed, let's move on at that point in time, and then let's just get it done. Like, and then we can focus on the offseason. And whether that means that Josh Giddey's now using this as even more motivation because it's once again more doubt thrown on him, which he's gotten thrown on him throughout his career, great. Use it for motivation. Go out there and prove that this deal is a steal. Keep in mind, it was something similar with Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's second contract with the Bulls, well, second contract in the NBA, where he signed that offer sheet with the Sacramento Kings, that deal was looked at as basically a steal when it all came down to it per what Zach LaVine gave. Now, we weren't a winning team at that point in time, so there's that aspect of it. But then he got his max on his next contract, and, you know, that's where things started falling apart at. So you have that aspect of things, too. So, you know, we'll see. Overall, I'm not going to say that this is going to completely kill the Bulls' relationship with Josh Giddey. I more so look at it as it is what it is. This is the situation that you were in. Each free agency has its own story. Yeah, we can look back at deals that other players have gotten, for sure, right? And you can use that as part of your leverage, as part of your negotiation tactic. But the market always kind of dictates the market. Now, you have some teams that say, fuck the market, and they go out and give their player whatever they feel, you know, that whatever that player feels they're worth. But the Bulls are trying to play this, and it does seem like they're trying to be more smart about it. And the way that I look at it, we can't complain when the Bulls give players just deals and don't negotiate, and then also complain when they finally do negotiate just because we feel differently about the player that it was done with, right? And so that's the thing that it has to come down to as well in this one. You have to look at it as each negotiation is its own. And if AK and Eversley are truly learning from past mistakes, this is one of the things that they have to do to show that they're learning from those past mistakes, is actually negotiate. Now, how much does that play into next season? That's what we'll see. And of course, I know my Bulls fans are going to be waiting for the pick with their pickets out to discuss what happens here. But overall, I think that's just what it comes down to. This is the market. The market dictated a lot of this, as it had for just about every restricted free agent. There wasn't a lot of money out there, and teams wanted to spend their money on players that they can get easier and not have to worry about the team that they're currently on potentially matching. And that's really what this came down to. So we'll see what the future holds. You guys can let me know how you feel on it down below. What do you think is positives? What do you think are negatives for the Bulls and Josh Giddey in this deal? And like I said, the chance that it could backfire, because there is definitely a chance that this deal could backfire, but we'll see what happens there. But let's move on. The Athletic and ESPN have recently talked about the Chicago Bulls offseason. The Athletic grading the Chicago Bulls offseason a D-. We were the only team that we're ahead of is the Pelicans, which also got a D with Joe Dumars. I'm sorry, we got a D+. The Pelicans got a D, with Joe Dumars taking over that franchise. And they talked about the Bulls' overall lack of direction and heavy reliance on internal development, right? Now, it depends on how you look at the players that they're trying to internally develop. I, for one, do feel like the Bulls have a direction. I know that that's not common. A lot of people won't think the Bulls have a direction until they're winning whatever type of number that they have in their mind. But I think this team has now picked a direction. The direction is going to be the direction of younger, developing, saving, valuing our own picks that we have here and making smart draft moves. And I think that is a direction. Now, whether you agree or disagree with that direction, I think depends on how you view the talent that we have here and the best ways to acquire better talent, right? So for the people that look at this and say, you got to tank to get higher picks, to get the best talent, of course, you're not going to view this as a direction until you have that, because the Bulls are still trying to win over this. So that's not going to coincide with that direction you want the Bulls to go in. Me personally, I look at it for what it's worth. You're trying not to build bad habits in the players that you're already here. And to me, the thought process that people have of, oh, well, let's just keep trading everybody because they're not a star and we're going to keep being bad, that's stupid to me, right? You need a foundation for when you get that player to have some players around them so that they're playing the right way. One thing that I always fight back on is when somebody says, oh, well, they couldn't develop because there were other players on the team. All right, yeah, but if they can only develop by nobody else good being around them, then that's where you lead into a player that's an empty stat caliber player. No, I want to see a player develop in structure and having to earn their shots and having to play with other players that, while they may not be stars, are NBA caliber players. That's what I want to see, right? So I do see, and in my personal opinion, do think that the Bulls have picked a direction. How fruitful they're going to be in that direction depends on how smart they are and what they do. And that's something that, AK is going to have to prove it. They're going to have to prove that now with the switch of direction, that they can consistently do those smart things. But for everybody saying that the Bulls don't have a direction, to me, maybe that's just me. I see the direction that they're going down.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Not to say that means that it's going to be successful, but I see the direction that they're going down, and that is they're going to build organically, and it's going to be what it's going to be with this team, but they are going to be a team. Well, they're never going to be a team that's trying to tank and purposely lose games for better lottery odds. That's just not who the Chicago Bulls are going to be. There's no covert tank here that some Bulls fans like to try to, push as a thing. It's not happening, right? So, that's my thing alone. And I look at this Bulls offseason. You got Trey Jones on a really reasonable deal. It's also a team option at the end of that deal, which is something that, AK hasn't used very normally. I also think getting Isaac Okoro in here for Lonzo Ball, a player that's more healthy, that's shooting about the same percentage from three when it comes down to that. You get him for one extra year as well past this season and not a crazy contract. I think that's decent. I'm not gonna say that the Bulls aced the offseason or anything like that, but I do think that they made smart moves that coincide with the direction that they had. I think Trey Jones is going to be really good here. So, the Athletic, it is what it is. I understand their reasoning, though, right? I definitely understand their reasoning. I just don't agree with the grade. Now, ESPN and Tim Bontemps and Kevin Pelton, they got more into it, right? Now, they had each team ranked as all in going into the season, and the Chicago Bulls ranked as a team that was not doing anything when it came down to it, saying this. In Chicago, the offseason saw the Bulls extend lead front office Arturis Karnasovan, Mark Eversley, as well as coach Billy Donovan. But they've made the playoffs once and have won a single playoff game over the past eight seasons, having repeatedly failed to extract a draft value out of trades for veterans Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine in the past year. On the light end of the tunnel in Chicago, plenty of cap space next summer. That's from Pelton and Bontemps. Now, here's the thing, right? Yes, the Bulls have tons of financial flexibility. You have to have players here to use that financial flexibility. Now, while they seem more geared towards the Bulls and the ownership doubling down on the front office that hasn't had much success, I really can't fight you on that one. I completely feel where you're coming from in that perspective, especially with Billy Donovan. But the way that I've seen it is this, is that, you know, you gave them three-year extensions on the 1 year that they already had left here. And so that gives them 4 years, basically 5 years after changing their direction, to really see what's going to come of that. And if in 5 years after having your second direction and since you've taken over this team, if you can't find your path, then what are we doing, right? So that's the way that I view it. And that's maybe the way that my brain rationalizes it, is that you made a stark change in direction. Now, let's see how you do with that based off this more in line with what you initially wanted to do or said that you wanted to do when you took over this franchise. And I guess we'll see what happens with that one. You know, it's a lot of wait and see with the Bulls, and wait and seeing is fine when you have a team or have a front office that has proven things over the last few years. The Bulls have not done that. And so because of that, it leaves you in this place where how are we going to feel comfortable in waiting and seeing when all we've waited and seen is failure over the last few years? And I think that's a fair statement for a lot of Bulls fans to make when it comes down to it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Overall, the bad grades for the Bulls is warranted. I can't, like I said, I can give my reasoning and my thought process, but in fairness, in reading most of these articles, I can understand the place that it came from. And, you know, while Bulls fans, some of them are looking at this thing and saying, like, I got comments yesterday, Modest Muzelis is a star in the making. He has a lot to show. Right. So I think if Modest really does hit a crazy leap in year two, then you're going to start seeing some tides turn on the Bulls. If Josh Giddey follows up how he finished the season last year and him and Kobe have chemistry, you're going to see some tune changing on the Chicago Bulls at that point. But it's still, you got to prove it. You got to show and prove. And that's where the Bulls have really failed at consistently over the last few years, is showing and proving. So now they have that opportunity. We'll see what they bring. Let's see what happens. But from one offseason to another past offseason, Dwayne Wade recently spoke on what happened with him failing to join the Chicago Bulls, in that offseason where LeBron went to the Miami Heat. Dwayne Wade said this: I was like, man, I'm going back home. I'm going to Chicago. I played 7 years here and won a championship, and it's time. For me, that was my mentality going into free agency outside of Miami. Of course, Miami was still in there for me, but I got that call. I got that call from number six. And so this isn't the first time we've heard about the Chicago Bulls Dwayne Wade planning on joining the Bulls in that offseason, which he then turned around and joined us like 5 or 6 years later when he was kind of over the hill. And, you know, the woulda, coulda, shoulda. But, you know, that goes back. That's kind of the same thing as nostalgia. At this point, it didn't happen. We understand the reasons it didn't happen. Chris Bosh joined into that. They wanted to go to Miami. The Bulls couldn't clear the salary to get all three of them. It is what it is. It was a missed opportunity. It could have completely changed the destiny of the Chicago Bulls. But, you know, it is what it is. And you got to move on from that. Like, it's not going to come back. You can't change it. Once to say is this, right? We heard so much about players that wanted to, that couldn't happen, or, you know, wanted to join the Bulls, but ultimately nobody has done it. Like, stop talking about what you didn't. When is somebody going to actually join the Bulls? Like, that's the question here, right? So, you know, hearing the quote, I wanted to bring it up, but it's nothing really. It is what it is. But the other piece of nostalgia before we get into one voicemail is that the Bulls announced that they're bringing the pinstripes back. Now, we have had pinstripes on our statement jersey for the last few years, right? The black and with the white pinstripes. Well, the Chicago Bulls are going back to the red pinstripes on the jerseys. They use Modest, Kobe, and Dennis Rodman to announce this. And this is another nostalgia bait for the Chicago Bulls. But as you see, I got a hat on with the red pinstripes. I can't wait to get the jersey to match it. Like, it is what it is, right? Like, these type of things are the right type of nostalgia. For me, I'm not, you know, I don't want to go back. I don't want the Bulls to to come out and trot out Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, even though Mike ain't coming, to try to sell tickets for the Bulls in some type of way, having a Michael Jordan night or a Scottie Pippen night. But to me, paying homage to a past time where in a past jersey that a lot of Bulls fans remember fondly, it's cool. It is what it is. Yeah, you use Dennis Rodman to announce it. Cool. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, I've seen a lot of excitement online about the Bulls going back to this red pinstripe jersey. And great. I'm going to get one. I can't wait to see the merch with it. Like, bring back the pinstripes. A lot of teams over the NBA have gone back to updated versions of former jerseys for their statement jersey. And now the Bulls are doing that as well. That's the way that I view it. I don't think that it's like, it's neither here nor there. Like, I care about the basketball that's being played. Of course, I'm going to buy the merch, but it's going to do that regardless, right? That's my thought process. Let me know how you guys feel. How excited are you to get the red pinstripes back for the Chicago Bulls? Let's get into the voicemail for today. I want to play. This one's based off the rumor that we talked about at the top of the show. This one's from the 407.
Yo, what's up, Hayes? What's up, Bulls Nation? This AI kid. I wanted to know what you think about Josh Giddey getting his new contract. I see they said offer him like 3 years. 670 million, something like that. That made me think about looping his contract. Y'all think we could do something with Joshua? We could just pay him what we want to pay him, and then like say if we want to enter an extension for the contract, we could just pay him with the remainder what he wanted, you know, something like the looping contract. But also, I see that you had a video up not too long ago about which Bulls. Which Bull progression would be best for the team or something like that. And I think Josh development would be best for the team, because I think a lot of people gonna build off Josh. Like, just for example, right, Josh shooting get better, then that's gonna make somebody that's gonna be like a ball dominant defender, they're going to have to press up on Josh as you bring it up more, which is going to give Kobe or the Wings going to be a lot more pressure to relieve off of them. So I think Josh coming to his own going to make everybody else game a lot more easier. Also, I don't know about Kobe. I mean, yeah, Kobe one of my best assets, but I just don't know if he's ready to be like number one or number two, really. I think he's the third option. When he's coming to me now, I think Kobe is more like his best fit is the third option. I think we're asking too much of him right now, but he's doing his job. He's doing his job to a good point. But I just think we're asking too much of him, and we really need to see who we compare with. Monty, you know, it's because Kobe time is going to pass, you know. He's going to want his money, and we're going to have to move on from him. But I just don't think he's going to be able to carry the Bulls to his next tier. But let me know what y'all think. Peace.
Yeah, I think the contract gives Josh Giddey time to show and prove. And I don't think that that's ever a bad thing, especially for a player like Josh Giddey that is going to be able to play point guard. He's already shown he can operate Billy Donovan's system really well. He's going to be a key cog in that offensive system working out. So I'm not mad at that. I think, you know, whatever it is and whatever contract they end up agreeing to, let's get it done. Let's focus on growth. And to your point at the end of this, saying that Josh Giddey's development helps players, it helps the offensive flow of the game. It helps other players develop, because the way that he commands and he operates that offense is basically exactly how Billy Donovan wants us to operate. We've talked about it many times here before. Billy Donovan's system in the NBA is almost predicated by having a point guard that can run that system at a high level. Once Billy Donovan has that, everything offensively looks so much better. Now, we still got a lot we need to work on defensively, but for the offensive side of things, Josh Giddey's hugely important to that offense looking at the best version of what it can. He's not the only one, but having a point guard that can run that is highly important to that, and that is what goes into Billy's system. So, you know, we'll end up seeing what happens. Like I said, there's at the top of the show, there's some chance that it could backfire on them in at the end of that three-year deal, and I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens there, but overall, thank you for leaving that voicemail. That's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.